Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back, everyone. It is the international break edition of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. Obviously, before getting into all the very exciting things happening this week, patreon.com/RomaPress, all of our wonderful patrons. You can also follow us on social media at @IsRomaPress on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. You know the drill. Please like, subscribe, and ring. I'm also supposed to say ring the bell notification icon, even though it does not work a majority of the time, so you get alerted when we drop the new video podcasts. We were really digging for things to talk about today, Andy, which is, in all fairness, during an international break, when it comes to Roma, is more often than not a good thing. Now, knocking on wood, so far, this is one of the more quiet international breaks we've had in some time. And part of me is saying, don't pinch me, don't wake me up, nothing. Let me live in this dream, because I have to tell you, no match this weekend. Just personally, and I'm sure you feel the same
feels
way,
good.
Others do too. It's been the best part of the season so far. It's been the most enjoyable week I've had.
Feels good, yeah.
I mean, I've talked more of Everton than I have of Roma. I mean, I'm about to do another one today.
Yeah.
Toffee TV.
Yeah, there you go.
This is not fantastic.
Not even Totti TV, Toffee TV.
I am going to go on all of the Merseyside, right? Yeah, Everton is Merseyside.
Yeah.
Chat with the boys about Everton. Where do they sit at the table in the Premier League? I couldn't tell.
Last? I don't know. I think last. I think they're the Monza of Premier League right now. Yeah. I think so.
My.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Wait, no, hold on. You don't give them enough credit. It's 16 in the table, Andy. Come on.
Okay. But
one, two, and four. One victory, two draw, four defeat. So I imagine I'm walking into a quite upbeat atmosphere. So I am looking forward to that, because I don't know how much more I can regurgitate about Dan Ryan Friedkin. Have people ask me the exact same questions, and I say I don't
know. How are they? Who are they? What do they do? What do they say? You know,
what more can I say about the private airports I have to track them down to and get employees to leak me the tail number of their private jets? I mean, I can talk about that if you want, but it's not exciting.
No.
Not exciting. I had to contact a guy who sounded like Jeff Goldblum.
I remember like a baggage handler or something. You had someone somewhere in some airport in Dallas or something.
I don't know what more could be said that hasn't already been said. But you know, same things are said.
The same thing can be said about Roma, which begs the question, why are we doing a Roma-themed podcast? Since right now, there is really nothing that jumps at us after this really troubling start to the season. You'd be hard-pressed to find, you know, it's weird, as you say, because usually international breaks are that period of the season where all these hot topics come up, you know? Like, for example, right now, Milan fans have to deal with this shitstorm of Italian media that is centered around Theo Hernandez and his future, and the fact that he's no longer perceived as the captain of the team following his behavior in their last outing against Fiorentina, where you know he forced himself to take a penalty. He didn't act like the captain of the team.
Yeah, and then Tammy doing it next. It's fantastic. Agent Paolo is working wonders. So even though they are doing well, relatively speaking.
It's fantastic in the sense that, you know, you can see just exactly what the international break represents. A chance to for Italian media to really dig into some hot topics. I'm surprised that at Roma there doesn't seem to be like a common thread of like journalists didn't even pick up too much on that latest Instagram post by Mats Hummels where he's basically begging for playing time. It seems like the Roman media were caught sleeping when Hummels released that. I imagined more of, you know, of like thinly veiled comments of say, oh, Hummels, is he going to leave Roma in the next few days right. because he's unhappy? You know, like that kind of thing. That didn't happen. And so yeah. At the same time, we have this Zaleski situation that is sort of lurking in the background, but you don't really, you know, it seems like the media are not even interested in that. There is Pellegrini, the criticism of Lorenzo Pellegrini, also kind of hot and cold. It seems like the fact that Luciano Spalletti decided to rely on him this international break also sort of pushed, delayed the media's scrutiny of him. You know, if Pellegrini wasn't called up this international break, I could imagine already the headlines regarding, you know, how this Roma captain is not fit to represent his country and all that stuff. Well, now he's projected to start against Belgium. So the media are once again caught in a sort of conflict about what to talk about Roma. And the truth is that there is very little, in that Roma are coming off a really complicated start of the season, and we don't know what's next. We can't really tell. Even the pessimists, I think even the people who try to be more negative on how this season is going to go, they're sort of caught in the middle. And perhaps the truth is that nobody really cares, because what Roma have shown us so far this season is not enough to warrant a clear judgment of what's going to happen.
Well, I will have something for the patrons at some point when after, probably after they hear this, but the Lina Suluku, which I kind of expected, because international break, you know, you will be able to trickle out some news. Things are beginning to slowly leak, and they are, I mean, very, very, very slow. And by the way, the other thing I like about this tactic, not only is it an international break, and it's not a lot, nothing scandalous, nothing eye-opening. I'm sure I'll talk about it at some point when we need to fill time in the next episode. But the thing I love about this too is A, international break, and B, knowing full well you are not going to get a single response from Roma, from the Friedkins. So your perspective, or the things you and those connected to you are leaking, you're only going to have that perspective, because you know there's not going to be anyone available or willing to come out to say, oh no, it wasn't this way, it wasn't that way. Nothing scandalous, but just some of the things that are slowly beginning to trickle out I do find interesting. And again, the fact that it's an international break, I would say we are right on schedule. You mentioned the slow start. I don't think there's really anything too new that we could bring to the table, even in that regard. Obviously, when you have a managerial change just a few weeks into the season, I can't realistically comprehend how anybody would expect anything other than absolute crap from what the position and the current position of the team is. And that is what it is. Stunningly, Lee in a way too, though. I mean, they're still in the top half of the table. They're ninth right now, yeah? If I'm not mistaken.
It's crazy. It's crazy because
it's mad. Yeah.
you feel like the energy that's accumulated over the recent days makes it seem far worse than it is.
Yes.
And perhaps, you know, again, it's really a matter of where you're coming from, but to come out of that, of this start, of this spell that we've just come out of into this international break, you'd be hard-pressed to find a single person who looks at that table and actually searches Roma in the left side of the Serie A standings.
But I have to tell you, I mean, 2 victories, 4 draws, 1 defeat. Just when I look at it, given the discussion, given the energy, or I should say the lack thereof, given the funeral proceedings that have been ongoing for a full month now, it's actually a little better than I thought. Now, obviously, when you drill down into it and see who these results are against, it's, oh, wow. Well, that is kind of crap. But there is still time here. That's the other thing I don't like about this is obviously people are going to be disappointed. We're disappointed. I mean, hey, come on. They draw to Monza and we come on here and we try. It's crap. It's absolute crap. But it's not as if we're speaking of the even double digits gap in points between where they are now and top. I think they're 7 points behind Napoli. I think Napoli are one defeat.
And Napoli are sort of the flip side of the medal, right? Because Napoli also face, I mean, if you look at the teams that Napoli have faced, more or less that's the schedule, and those are the results that you would have expected Roma to have. Correct. Against the kind of opposition that, I mean, Napoli have come away with a ridiculous schedule of games against Como, against Udinese, you know. That's kind of teams that we've been facing. For them, it's lost been to Verona, working out lately.
Lost to Verona?
Yeah, but the point is that sort of they are the ones who got a handle on the situation. Roma obviously don't have a handle on the situation, but it's far-fetched to say Napoli are already Scudetto winners, just as it's far-fetched to say that Roma's season is done. You know, that's the kind of conclusion that we can draw when we take the time to breathe, inspect the table in Serie A in this international break, and come to the conclusion that, hey, maybe the world isn't as hopeless as some Roma fans would have it.
Well, that's obviously the case, and that is a good segue into our good and our bad. We'll start positive, and this list may be far shorter than the bad. However, there were some things that I think are very evident when it comes to positives. Now, again, final results, nobody's going to dispute that. Nobody's going to argue that. It is pointless for us to even debate it. We can talk about the positive while simultaneously agreeing that the
right
that the, this has not been a good start. So just because we find positive, that's the other thing.
Yeah,
when you have a you know, results like this, nuance just goes out the window. It's either the funeral or it's a parade.
It's not as if we make make the good and bad segment, it necessarily means that it's one way or the other. It's sort of trying to, and I think in this also it's interesting to look at it because we can speak of the good being mostly about individual elements, the bad being more of a collective effort, because I think that's the main difference that we can identify in the start of the season, is that the things that have been working with regards to specific elements inside the team. But
yes,
the bad, this energy that we mentioned earlier, is collective. And that's really the situation that we find ourselves in. That's why we are distraught and we feel tired already. And it's just October. Because, yes, despite some good things that we saw from certain players in the opening of the season, as a whole, this team has largely underperformed.
We're talking about Paredes later in the episode, but you have turned me, ever since you mentioned it, about him looking the way that I very rarely do I notice things like that, but I can't stop looking at him. And I pulled up Getty Images and I just see all these photos of him.
Against Augsburg. Did you see those photos? It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if he's wearing
the long sleeves too.
It seems like he's wearing something under the shirt, you know, like some kind of warm pullover, but it's not. It's him. It's his physical form, which, okay, I don't want to get into that right now. I want us to tackle the good, because there is some good to talk about, you know, listen, for me, I would say if you ask me, the first thing that pleasantly surprises me, and I think that is pivotal and that we should not forget, because we have to remind ourselves where we were at this time of last year when we had Rui Patricio in goal.
Yes.
Where we are now with Milos Villar. The fact that Milos Villar was able to pick up where he left off last season in his first season as the starting goalkeeper, with the knowledge that he's the starting goalkeeper, and to not see him falter and to not see him make mistakes, and to see him with that same kind of ease, leadership, you know, tacit attitude that he had and last season, man. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome, and it's something that I do not take for guaranteed, because if I think about last season's Rui Patricio, painful. This time, yes. Although the team clearly sort of follows in the footsteps of last year's team, we can point a lot of fingers at certain players for not performing. Milos Villar is not one of them.
No, and he has been decisive, I think, in moments that do not get enough credit, nearly enough credit for they deserve. For instance, I think about Venezia, and I believe it was either early in the second half or it was after the
second
half.
No, second half.
Yeah. That save he makes.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, incredible.
Incredible.
With his left hand. Yeah, with his left hand, with the opponent literally just like 20 centimeters away from him. Incredible. In a crucial moment where it's either you sink or you have a chance to fight again.
Yes, and the other thing that some people have pointed out, and I can understand this point of view. We've had some, I think it was two matches ago against Venezia. It was at halftime when, again, the funeral proceedings were ongoing. Some of our patrons had pointed out, you know, Svilar, he does do good on the whole, on the entirety. However, it does not take many attempts to get a goal past him. And when you look at the data from that perspective, this is why I say you always have to watch the match. A data point will only tell 10% of an entirety of how a team or an individual actually performs. Okay, fine. If that actually is the case, somebody put some sort of data in there in regards to the number of attempts that it takes to them to find a goal. The exact opposite of Roma, yeah, where they need about 45 shots per match to get a single goal. It's the opposite.
John, I just want to say it's 14.6 shots until the first goal comes. 14.6.
Just think about that. There are some teams that don't get that many shots
no,
in 23 matches.
Yeah, the average of the better teams is 6 or 7 shots. Yeah.
Well, so I mean, really, that does tell. Yeah. They have to lead, and I haven't. Our data and information group there, they're currently on holiday. I have to imagine that no team has hit the post more than them. Yeah, I mean Pellegrini himself has hit it three or four times.
I think Roma lead Serie A in terms of shots taken. So and mind you, obviously the story goes that those are not perfect shots. Those are shots with incredibly low percentage of being potentially successful and threatening. Usually they come from non-threatening areas of the pitch, but it says a lot about this team that even though they're trailing and, you know, having the same offensive stats as Lecce and a lot of other bottom teams in Serie A, they still lead the league in shots taken, which just gives you an idea of the desperation that this team feeling. But Milos Villar has nothing to do with the way that this team has been underperforming defensively. You can say a lot about the various interpreters at the back line, but Milos Villar is not one of them. Now, I think the player that may be slow this season to start with is Gianluca Mancini, who last year was phenomenal. This year he's slow. Evan Dika has been doing a lot of the heavy lifting, I would say.
Yes.
But more so, it's a pleasant surprise again of another player who reaffirms his place in this team, despite probably a lot of low expectations for him when he came in January last year, is Angelino, who all of a sudden goes from being Spinazzola's backup to being not only a starter in the team, but also the go-to guy with most touches, most crosses made. I mean, sort of clearly the player that was identified by both Daniele De Rossi and Ivan Juric as the engine of this Giallorossi lineup.
Well, you mentioned Theo Hernandez. I mean, that was him under Pioli, yeah? I mean, he was the man you gave, kind of like LeBron, yeah? You give to him the ball and just let him do. Let him do, let him create, let him do whatever he wants. I mean, to see him develop into this, and by the way, the versatility he brings to, you would kind of just think by nature that, you know, putting him on the left side of a three-man defense, that he would be crap, he wouldn't be up to it, he's short. How can he possibly, from a physical point of view, how can he possibly hold up? He has been about as perfect as you could ask in whichever role he's been asked to play. I have been absolutely blown away. If you just look at sort of value for the money that you spend on a player, I am very hard pressed to think of operations where you pay that little and they pay off that quickly. I mean, truly, we talk about January acquisition and always we speak of the January of Perotti, El Shaarawy, and Renault. It was just, we always leave this guy out and I feel bad. Zukanovic.
Oh, you knew. Yeah.
My man,
I remember that. Yeah.
The poor man's Kolarov, as many predicted he would be. I mean, that just him alone from January, if you want to put Baldanzi in there too. I mean, it's incredible value. I mean, the value you get, his wages are not absurdly high. And by the way, you also had Galatasaray, and then you also had Leipzig. I mean, they were eager to get rid of this guy. They just didn't see what the path was for him. And clearly that's he has carved something out here.
Yeah, that's why it's fascinating to see that this is the guy that has been made sort of the regista of the team, even though and he is the one who allows this team to change formation, to change shape. He's the one who dictates whether you decide to play with three at the back, whether you decide to have Hermoso at the back and him on the wing, you know. And the quality of his passing compared to everybody else is outstanding. He's got incredible technical ability. He's fast. And even in defending, I've been really pleasantly surprised with with this little guy. And mind you, he's one of the few players that stay behind because he's not being called up by Spain, which works out great because with the amount of games that he's played, this is good that he gets a bit of rest in between just because how crucial he's been. And then, you know, speaking obviously of signings, I think we would be amiss if we didn't mention Artem Dovbyk, a guy who it seemed like in the opening 3 weeks of the season, it was a hunting season for the media in terms of trying to downplay this signing and trying to make Roma look foolish. Nowadays, you know, a lot of players from this summer are being criticized or rather questioned, you know, like Hummels. What is he? All these articles are coming out, like Enzo Lefebvre, Hummels. Who are these guys? Samuel Dahl, you know? And yet, all the newspapers, all the articles that were written about Dovbyk in the first 2-3 weeks of the season are gone. They're gone because this is a player that I think just by looking at the goal that he scored against Monza, you can tell the kind of high caliber player that he is. It's normal that someone needs time to settle in a new league. It's normal that it takes time, especially when the team is malfunctioning, especially when coaches come and go. But I don't think I would ever question the quality of someone like Dovbyk because with the little that he's been given to work with, he's been unreal. Really, just in terms of how efficient he's been. And not only that, but also the promising things that he showed glimpses of, but has still to reveal. It's fantastic. As in that, if there is something that makes me hopeful in a complicated start to the season, it's that to have guys like Dovbyk, who came here with a certain reputation and I think have all the tools to maintain that reputation and perhaps even do better. And I think Dovbyk is that player. He is that player that if you give him the ball, if you tell him be the leader, he is going to be the leader. I mean, the guy in a team that struggled, I can't think of performances after those first 2 weeks where he has been, say, detrimental to the team, you know, as opposed to Tammy Abraham, whom we can point to several times in his spell at Roma, where he just wasn't good enough. And Dovbyk, I think, even in the games where he's missed, or even in the games where he's taken a few more shots than usual, he's been always active and he's never hurt the team. And that's all I ask, given how mediocre Roma have been in these opening weeks.
Well, I remember so vividly too that match, that opening match against Cagliari. I mean, the poor guy seemed like he had the ball maybe twice at his
feet. Nothing. There was nothing going for
him. It was so...
They might as well put you in there. I don't think you would
yeah,
have made...
Yeah, I mean, he's the... I believe he and I are the exact same height.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It was... Now, as far as the rest of the good goes beyond Dolfbeck, I think we're going to have the exact same. Yeah, Pisili... not exactly
Pisili,
breaking.
Pisili and Baldanzi, because I think lot of people were being, first of all, people were worried that, again, Roma, by getting rid of Bove, they're going to, you know, step away from the tradition, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Pisili came through. Baldanzi, the question of when is it going to happen for him? When is it going to be his moment? After a few ups and downs, I think he got injured at the start of the season. Preseason, he was banged up. Thankfully, came through, and now even against Monza, I mean, it's kind of, if there is one thing that I can say that Juric messed up in the Monza game is getting Baldanzi so late on the pitch, because he came on with 5 minutes to go and he was unstoppable. So good to see that guy come alive.
And well, his versatility too. That's the other thing. Much like Angelino, I questions as to whether he can play Mazzala. This is something that you've discussed in the past. I think that is something invaluable. Before we move on to the bat, I just have to mention, because you dropped the name, you said the magic word, Bove. Totti did another interview, and he just he blurted his name out of nowhere. If you read the transcript of it, he mentions him just seemingly out of nowhere, saying, "Oh my goodness, well." What a shame that this guy. What, I'm trying to be rational about it. I'm trying to be calm. I have watched every single Fiorentina match. I've watched every single match he has played in. I was alive. I was not in as much as I would have preferred to have been in a coma. I was alive. I was not in a coma for last season when he had a drop off of. Epic proportions. I mean, if you look,
you'd be hard pressed to find. You'd be hard pressed to find a guy who fell off more of a cliff from the
Perfectly in a line with Jose Mourinho leaving.
Yeah,
Daniele De Rossi arriving.
Yeah,
it aligns perfectly with that timeline. I mean, obviously it is early. But Andy, I mean, you would have thought that people were giving away. A guy
prime
who...
Prime Daniele De Rossi.
And the way it's discussed too is something I cannot comprehend. I mean,
there's never... do you see that if you notice, it's never about, oh, it's a shame that he left because, he scored a lot of goals or because he was strong physically or he was good at passing. It's a shame that he left because he was a product of the youth team, you know? That's the thing that even Totti said. It's a shame that he left because he's a product of the youth team and, you know, he was a Roma fan. I think Pisili had a really good thing to say about this during his introductory press conference for Italy yesterday, I think, or the day before. Where he was asked, you know, obviously the same question, John, that we always love. I mean, except for the Angelo Mangiante classic of, is Roma a place that you consider your destination?
Is it a destination or
a stopover or whatever?
A stepping stone. Yeah.
Pisili was asked, do you feel that, would you like to be a bandiera for Roma? Would you like to be a club legend?
Yeah.
And Pisili said something very nice, which is, I am a Roma fan. I'm a Roma fan, but it's too early to say if my future will be at Roma. And that's very level-headed take on a reality that is very simple. You don't stay at a club because you're a fan. You have to have something to give. I think it's pretty clear that Bove leaving does not is not included in the bad segment of this show, because no. Bove leaving is just a symptom of a player who did not fit the way the club wanted to play, and that's what we have to deal with. You know, we have to move on. Everybody moves on. Bove will eventually move on, but you cannot miss a player because he represented something on the youth team. That was years ago. If he showed you good things under Mourinho, doesn't mean that he will show you good things later on. It's the same applies to guy. Why didn't we cry about Félix Afena-Guyan? Because we saw his limitations. That doesn't mean that Bove is the kind of player that Félix is. But to me, it's always tiring, this narrative of it's a shame that he left. Because what? Because he was a good footballer? Because he was good at passing? Because he could have been a good number six, a good number eight? Why is it a shame? No, because he was a product of the youth. It's okay. God damn it. You know, like how many times? Anyway, so.
You and I spend too much time in this place.
Too much time.
I just want to do a part. And maybe this is something that you can't appreciate or understand if you don't spend time within the country, because when you step outside and you see how it is in other places, you realize that when we say like the ambiente Roma, it is unique in a very good way sometimes, but also in a very bad way.
Yeah.
I just have to reiterate this because I say it thousands of times, but I need to say it again. And you don't hear these questions when you travel to Torino and you go to a Juve introductory press conference. Do you think that they care if a guy is?
No. The only time they care is when Yildiz gets the number 10 from Del Piero, and there is obviously a question. But think about it. You know, since Alex Del Piero, Dybala and Yildiz have both worn that shirt. Which is something unthinkable in Rome, and you know we can debate that, but that just shows you that there is.
Well,
there
we saw what happened with that Gerson shirt. Yeah, I mean that was old. That thing, that poor kid, he should have never came. It was over before it started.
That photo is it's the end of his career at Roma before it even began. So, but you know, speaking of these things of what went wrong, what could have gone wrong? Well, what went wrong for Roma, I think this early on in the season is, I think we all expected a certain, you know, even if, because yes, we can say, we talk about, you know, the lack of ideas going forward. Roma lack ideas. Roma have exactly this tendency to take a lot of shots on goal. But a lot of these shots are from really non-threatening areas. A lot of these shots end up way above the crossbar or outside the post. What we can say is we expected this Roma to be more solid this season, to have more composure, because what I think you and I have gone over in these recent episodes, analyzing these losses, draws, or, you know, marginal victories, is that very often we see this team concede and they slump and they, you know, they look down and you sort of feel like they're deflated, like they knew it was coming, which is weird because we've been in this exact same place numerous times last season. And it's always that same thing of, will Roma ever learn? Well, this time, I think the bad segment of the show is focused around this, around the team that entered the season with a clear lack of solidity. That can be, listen, it can be a bit of everything. It can be disappointing performances, disappointing players. It can be De Rossi not finding the answers early on in preseason. It can be that managerial switch. It can be the disorganization from top to bottom. But one thing that jumps at you is that this team should have been ahead, especially after those losses against Bayer Leverkusen. We expected that team that went out proud, you know, having given everything, to take the next step, which is the same thing we said after Budapest. Take the next step. It didn't come. And even now, this time around, it's still not there. This team is too fragile. They are too susceptible to the opponent dictating the terms, even when they are supposed to be the ones dominating possession, pressuring the opponent. It's even when they do that, it still results in a team that is clearly brittle in how it's constructed and how it moves on the pitch. And that's quite a shame, because no matter how good Miles VR is, it will still mean that you'll concede at least one goal, you know, and that may compromise, that may put in jeopardy your season as a whole. If you don't pick up the pieces and if you don't address the issues that are there. So we can talk about bad performers. We can talk about Leandro Paredes being overweight. We can talk about Nicola Zaleski, you know, having...
Yeah, let's end with that. The high points of the season. I mean, come on.
The season starts with a bang. The season starts off with a bang.
No,
with
but seriously, I mean, the mere thought of Zaleski signing a new contract after everything that took place. I mean, if you want to talk about quintessential AS Roma, that is it.
That's it. Yeah.
That is right next to Sevi Turbe. I don't know what... Listen. You couldn't get a deal. You couldn't get a deal in the summer. You couldn't do it. You couldn't get a deal. Fine. You take it on the chin. You know what you don't do? You know what you don't do just to avoid losing a guy for free? Give him a renewal. You don't do that. You don't do that.
But how much of that decision, how much of that decision is also up to Alexis Salzmaker's, you know, fracturing his ankle 3 games into the season and being out until the end of November?
Fractured ankles gets more assists than this guy.
I know, John, but you have to also imagine you're Juric, you come into the team. Stefan El-Shaarawy is projected to miss the next couple of weeks with a calf sprain. So he's out. Salzmaker's out until end of November. Who else is going to be there? You know, we thought we had this depth. Right now, as always, it comes back to bite us in the rear. The fact that, yes, we will have to turn to Zaleski and beg him to come through and contribute. Even when just a few weeks ago, we would have been more than happy to accept anything for him.
Dude, you have a contract. Get out there. Okay, hey, you know what? Help us help you. You know what? You do well on the pitch. You will get more takers. Get more contractual offers from interested parties. Okay? For us, we're giving you this opportunity to come back into the... I hate this. This is one of the things I hate about contracts and just transfer in general, where it becomes this dance of back and forth. I mean, Andy, how do we go from a guy accepting Galatasaray, or hold on, from staying to looks like he's going to remain for the season? Now Roma are pushing him to Galatasaray. He accepts Galatasaray. His agent says, no, he never accepted Galatasaray. They changed the terms of the contractual offer, which they did, by the way. I got to give Zoolander his credit in that regard. They did. But they changed the terms. But the deal didn't get done. Okay, fine. So you freeze him out. How do we go from that to, hey, sign on the dotted line. Welcome back. Welcome back to the team. Well, come on in.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating also the narrative. I don't know if you've seen it, but there is a clear disparity between some newspapers. Some claim that Zaleski is still far away from a contract renewal and that he could leave in January, or that he's tempted to join another Italian club in free agency. And then there is the other newspapers that are selling us the story that Roma are very impressed with the professionalism that Zaleski showed after being excluded from the squad, and that they want to reward his behavior with a new contract, and that there is optimism coming through from Trigoria. You know, all that crap that clearly is dictated by the players' camp. At the end of the day, we always seem to forget what is good for Roma. In this situation, it's even hard to tell, because again, we are we're depleted on that left flank. There's not many solutions, but Zaleski, even when he came on against Monza, he's just not is just not useful. He's just not useful to the cause. I want to believe that Ivan Juric can get something out of him. That if he sees something in him, then I'll go with the flow, and as always, I'll trust with the people that are actually working in training and seeing what the players do in training. But so, if you ask me, do you want to see Zaleski continue with Roma? My answer is no, because that's a player that is just not in his comfort zone with the club. And that's how it goes. And the same thing can be said about Leandro Paredes, who I think has completely switched off, who I think is someone who
is on the Javier Pastor, as I said. Replace. I will do that for the photo. I'll do that today. I will replace the photo, the infamous photo of Javier Pastore with it.
Well, but Javier Pastore was skinny, and Paredes hasn't recovered from the Copa America celebrations. Clearly, Daniele, even with Daniele De Rossi, he wasn't starting because he just wasn't in shape. That was the truth. He wasn't making appearances for Roma at the start of the season because he just wasn't in shape. The thing with De Rossi leaving can only further distance a guy like Paredes away, because he's a player that if he's locked in, great. Okay, he'll help out. And we saw that in the second half of the season last season when De Rossi stepped in and sort of completely understood what Paredes can do for the team. That's when Paredes came alive. But I think Paredes is also the kind of player who, as soon as things go south and he's not at the center of your plans anymore, he will not do anything to change that. He will not fight for his place. He will just let this contract run out. We have to remember he's a free agent in the summer. He wants to return to Argentina. But I really wouldn't have a hard time envisioning Roma being willing to let him leave in January, because this is a player whose presence can be detrimental if he just decides to just be a burden on the bench, which he can be, because he's one of those, you know, he's not a real senatore, but he is a guy who's played here before. He had the captain's armband against Elfsborg. So clearly someone who feels that he's achieved something at this club. It's clearly someone who will be more comfortable, you know, and who will think that he's got more liberty than others just because of his status within the locker room. But the truth is that, once again, just like Zaleski, Paredes can be a completely useless player. We've seen that many, many times, even in his earlier spells with Roma. We've seen that in the first half of last season where he just wasn't making any difference whatsoever, wasn't able to do anything worthwhile for Roma. And I think we are seeing it now in full effect. This guy who has basically given up to try. I mean, even the fact that he's left for Argentina international duty to me is crazy, because this is a guy that hasn't given a decent performance since April, basically.
When you have a guy who comes to your club and within the first few months is giving an interview, and he has the final 48 months of his career already planned out, of which he makes it explicitly clear he's going to be leaving you after the two seasons of his contract, I think we should have been a bit worried at that point and thought, we will be lucky to get 6 months from this guy. That's what they got. Hey, in fairness, what they, you know, not having paid for him.
Oh, it was pretty good. It was pretty good for 2.5 million. For 2.5 million to see him put that kind of effort under De Rossi was amazing. It was really amazing. But yeah. I do think that we always knew all along that there would be come a time where in this 2-year contract thing, he would show his true colors. And I think we're seeing now a player who's very complacent, who doesn't, you know, who's seeing Kone and Pizzilli start ahead of him. And he can't possibly be happy about it. So he's not going to be, you know, charging up and trying to win his place back in the starting lineup, because he has no motivation to do so. Because in just 7 months or so, he's going to be out of a contract and free to sign with his beloved Boca Juniors.
We're not going to body shame him any further. We will leave it there. Back sometime next week. Enjoy the weekend. Oh my goodness. Enjoy it. No Roma. Go outside. Touch some grass. No Roma. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Until next time. Ciao.
Ciao.